everybody again. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And as you know, most of you anyway, we usually go to our prayer cabin in Southwest Arkansas. But we had a hindrance again this year and we're quite sure we'd be next year. But now we're on Eagle Mountain Lake. Well, are there any mountains in Texas? Yes. And there's, if you go back up around this part of the lake, and down up from, you can't see it from here. You have to go around in where the deeper part of the lake is. And there is a mountain there and it sticks up. And on the side of that mountain, there's an alkaline piece there that is the shape of an eagle. And it's Eagle Mountain. Well, it was that way a long time before the lake was here. And, of course, Comanche Indians lived in all of this part. And I'm going to take liberty here and say that they named it. Because there was just a river coming down through there. That river was dammed off and made this lake. And this is a water reservoir for the city of Fort Worth and so forth. And Eagle Mountain International Church, that's what, it's on Eagle Mountain Lake, and it has an eagle on a mountain. So anyway, just thought you might like to know. Now then, Father, we thank you again for divine health, and we thank you for the blood covenants of this book and then the blood of Jesus ratified all of those in the first covenant. And we give you praise and honor, and we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you again. Amen.
Amen.
So, let's go back then to the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you pass over Jordan, unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And you'll write upon them the words of this law when you're passed over, that you may go into the land which... I want to remind you something else. When Cain murdered Abel, why how come God allowed him to live? There was no law against it. Became a law book, the law and the prophets. A young scribe came up to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus said, the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and labor and your neighbor as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And notice he used love. The Bible doesn't say God is power, but it does say God is love, and he uses his power. Nevertheless, these people had been enslaved. That's the reason the food laws are in here. They had to eat anything to stay alive. So now they needed to understand the difference of the things that would curse you and the things that would bless you. I'm in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy. Moses and the priests and the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day you are become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord God and his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Moses charged the people, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you come over the Jordan: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Those mountains are there today. One of them, the Blessing Mountain, is green and things grow there. The Curse Mountain, and there are mountains. The Curse Mountain is alkali, won't hardly anything grow on it. Well, can you imagine what 1 million people over on this mountain and another million on this mountain shouting back and forth across there, how much that must have really impressed them in heart and mind? And the Levites shall speak and say unto all men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that makes any graven molten image or admonition to the Lord, and the work of the hands of the craftsman putteth it in a secret place, and all the people's lantern say, Amen. Cursed be he that set a light by his father and his mother, and all the people say, Amen. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed shall be he that perverteth the judgment of a stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. They're shouting back and forth. Cursed shall be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And you go on and then, but if it'll come to pass, if you'll not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and statutes I command thee this day, the curses come on you and overtake you. Great, precious promises, commands. And then, then in the 61st verse, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed.
I think there was a little strife there somewhere.
Oh, but here comes the good news, the gospel.
What was the last scripture? 64.
That was in Deuteronomy 28. Now let's go over to Galatians chapter 3. Oh, the faith book. 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yes. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith of what God promised Abraham. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Brethren, I speak not after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was obtained by angels in hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Oh, this is so good. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. For before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. For the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith is come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster or under the law. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, or if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. We've been redeemed. What does redeem mean?
Bought back.
Musicians, especially. Well, back in the big band days, the days of Glenn Miller and so forth, during the Depression days. And they try to make it, well, Glenn Miller would take his trombone, and he had a pawn shop that he would take it in there. And they'd put it up, and then he'd work and do a little job and go back and take that ticket and redeem it or get it back. It means to exchange. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Our Jesus was made a curse for us because he paid the ultimate price. A sinless man. Sinless blood, but that's what had to happen. That's the reason in the Garden of Eden, after the sin, they were naked. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. So then God killed an animal and made skin for them. So an animal died in the Garden of Eden to clothe the first man and first woman. Magnificent. Now, if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. The curse? No. We've been redeemed from the curse. That's the reason that we take these exceeding great and precious promises. That's what Peter talked about. Exceeding great and precious promises, because they're blood promises. They are blood backed. The blood promise. Native people. There are still people on earth that make blood promises in the blood of animals, or so you can't break it. And when Mr. Livingstone was called to go to Africa, he couldn't get in there. He's a white man. He couldn't. And his interpreter told him, he said, you will never get in unless you cut the blood covenant with someone that's important. And so there was a chief, a very high chief, and they had a covenant ceremony. And he said, you'll have to, they'll make a cut and some of your blood will drop in a drink, and some of his blood will drop in that drink. making you blood brothers. And he said he that was so repulsive to him, he didn't want to do that. You know, I mean, he's a strong Christian man. And so he kind of rebelled. He said, well, if you want to get in here, you're going to have to do that. Mm. So he did. He said, now there's an exchange of gifts. Well, he had a little goat that he had goat milk because he had trouble with his stomach. He said, the chief wants the goat. Yeah, this is a covenant exchange. And so when he got the goat, then the chief gave him his staff. He said it was a long copper wired staff. And Stanley first thought Livingston first thought that he'd been had. He got his goat and all he got was that stick.
He got his goat.
But every place he went, Gloria, people bowed down to him because he had the staff of a king. Hmm. Through blood covenant. Now, what does that mean to us? Through blood covenant, we have the name of the king.
Amen.
The name that's above every name that's named. Names in heaven, names in earth, and names under the earth must bow and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And every devil in hell hears that name spoken in faith. They bow and tremble. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Do a study on the name of Jesus. I was in Jamaica. And I'd been studying the power and authority in the name of Jesus. And I went to a place called New Hope. And we got there and they had set up what you and I would call a brush arbor, Glory. Well, it was the same thing, only it was in a banana grove. And they had those great big banana leaves because they were having meetings there in the daytime. Mm. And they had set it up there. I got there. And they had a kerosene light hanging here where I could read. Well, because of that light in my face here, so I could read my Bible, I couldn't see much. And they had built they made a pulpit out of a stump and a board, and it was a pretty nice one. It had a little piece of wood tacked here where my Bible would sit there. And I was preaching on that authority of the name of Jesus and that it was conferred upon him. He inherited it from his father. It was conferred upon him. And then he got it by great combat because his name, he went into hell and defeated it. So his name is the name above every name. And all of a sudden there was a man who just came through and he was just standing. He said, lay hands on me in that name. So I moved out in front of that. And then I could see. And there was a rock wall back there. And I could see. I couldn't tell. There were hundreds of people sitting on that rock wall. And there was another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. I finished my message and laid hands on all the people that desired it. And the pastor's car was just right outside. I went over there and sat down in the seat of his car. And there was a woman came up there. And I would say probably 40, 45 years old or so. Not an old woman. She said, Brother Copeland, thank you very much. I was blind. Now I see.
Praise God.
And turned around and walked off. Mm. So when the pastor came around and got in the car, he helped people go away, get settled in. I said, do you know her? Oh, yeah, she in my church. I said, well, was she talking about being blind spiritually. Oh, no, Brother Coleman, she's stone cold blind, can't see nothing. I said, I would have thought she'd been more excited than, oh, Brother Copeland, we're trained by the British. We don't show emotion in church. She get home, she go crazy. In that name. Then we were at Southwest. You and I were at Southwest Believers Convention. Oh, several years ago. And we were down among the people there just laying hands on different ones. And I walked up. This woman was in a wheelchair. And a young woman, found out later, was her granddaughter. She had on dark glasses. And so I took her glasses off. And I said, may I do what Jesus did? She said, by all means. So, I did what he did. I spit on my hands and put them in her eyes and held them there until I got a release in my spirit and I took my hands off. I said, what do you see? She said, I see you. Glory to God. Well, that was on Saturday, of course, Saturday morning. And then she was in church Sunday. That's where we found out it was her granddaughter. And so Pastor George interviewed her. She said, I had double vision that was so bad that I was declared legally blind. But she said, I kept pastoring my church. She said, my granddaughter here just helped me. And he said, well, what happened? She said, I'm perfectly healed.
Praise God, isn't that good?
And he said, how old are you? She said, 77, and I'm going to heaven. He said, well, she said, pretty soon I'll be 78 going straight. Just perfectly healed.
Right.
By the name. By the power invested in the name of Jesus. Mm. And we're out of time. Gloria and I will be back in just a moment.
Life situations can feel hopeless, but you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, have a life force that lives inside you. In the Miraculous Love Package, including the book by Kenneth Copeland, Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous, he describes how you can be surrounded by God's love and walk in the miraculous in your everyday life. Partnered with the Force of Forgiveness teaching on CD or digital download, Brother Copeland explains how forgiveness is the life force for you and your family. See how forgiveness is a force that relates exactly to healing, and to forgive others is an act of faith. There are things available to us in walking in the love of God that are not available in any other way. Learn how to apply this in your family life, on the job, and in everyday life. God's love in you changes situations. Request your free copy of the Miraculous Love Package. Walk in God's love and forgiveness and make living in the supernatural and the miraculous part of your everyday life. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Gloria and I were married in April of 1962, and then November of that same year, I went to the airport like always, and there was a man by the name of Weir. He was an executive of Arkansas Louisiana Gas Company. I went early, just a day, and then I flew him to Shreveport and back. And got back to the airport and helped him with, you know, get to his car. And then I got the car and drove to our apartment. And I went into the bedroom and Gloria waited supper for me. She was at the stove then. And I walked in there and I had I changed, took my suit off, and put on a pair of khakis and a little sports shirt and one. And I sat down out there in the kitchen to, and one shoe on, one shoe off, and suddenly, I mean suddenly, I just dropped my head. Kenneth, if you don't get right with me, son, you're headed to a devil's hell. I said, I know it. I know it. What do I do now? I heard my Sunday school teacher's voice when I was 12 years old, Mrs. Taggart, at the University Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. Boys, you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I said, well, okay. And I did it. I'd never heard of being a new creature. I didn't know anything about the Bible. For about 30 seconds, I couldn't shut my mouth. From that day to this, all profanity was gone. And I said, Gloria? Now, she was raised in the Church of Christ. I was raised in the Southern Baptist. We just hadn't said anything about it. And I thought, how am I going to tell her? Anyway, I told her, and she shouted hallelujah. She got saved 2 weeks before that. If you've never received Jesus in your heart, right now's the time. Just say yes to him. He did all the hard part. He couldn't pray your prayer for you. In the name of Jesus, do it now. We'll send you this little book. He did it all for you with a brochure in there on how to read and how to study your Bible. We want you to have this free salvation package.
Praise God.
Request yours today, kcm.org. Let us know if you receive Jesus as your Lord. Then share your testimony. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reminding you that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord.
If you received Jesus into your heart and made him the Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation.